Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk, where I'm on vacation, and so things are not scrolling through my head as quickly as they usually are. Hi, Michelle. How are you tonight?
Hi, I am great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Now, I know I was trying to think where you and I met, and I want to say maybe the first time we were in the same place together was Montreal a few years ago.
I have not been to Montreal, so it wasn't that one.
Wasn't Montreal. St. Louis?
It's hard when you go. I was at St. Louis. I think that might have been it.
That might have been it too then.
Yes.
So I have a whirlwind every year, as I'm sure you do as well. Uh-huh. And then all the people, all the places, and you're trying to think, now, where do I know that person from? And then I see you on Twitter and on other podcasts, and it's like on Facebook, and it's just awesome.
Usually people have to tell me like what we talked about or where we were, so that I can be like, oh, sure, because I just meet so many people that it's so hard to be like, do I actually know you in real life yet, or are we just internet friends? Like, I don't remember.
My least favorite is when I say to somebody online, I'll say, I'm so looking forward to meeting you in person. And they go, you mean like we did last year? And I'm like, oops. That's happened to me maybe more than once. But a lot of people attend one or two conferences a year, one or two WordCamps a year. And you and I are people who attend multiple WordCamps a year. So
yes.
And so they all start to kind of run together after a while. Well, anyway, my guest this evening is Michelle. And do you say Shulp or Sculp? I've actually never heard your last
name. Shulp. Don't you hate? Oh, I love like pronouncing words that you've never heard said out loud. That is another thing. That is just, yes. So I understand.
I usually ask before we start recording so that I don't look embarrassed. But, I get called Michelle Amos all the time. And I also get called Amy, which is very strange just because my last name's Ames. So, okay. So anyway, Michelle Shulp, it's nice to have you here this evening. And tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So I am a independent digital designer, front-end developer. I've been independent for the last decade in the WordPress space. I build custom themes for clients. And in the enterprise space, I do UX strategy consulting and presentation design. So
you kind of are a woman of all trades there, making sure that everybody's got what they need and are perfectly represented on the internet. Which is awesome. And you do speak at a lot of WordCamps as well, do you not?
I do. In fact, we just wrapped up WordCamp Minneapolis, my hometown WordCamp, this past weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome. There were some really good WordCamps going on this weekend, and I was home. And I had serious fear of missing out on all of them, watching everything happen on Twitter and Facebook, just knowing that it's okay. WordCamps are allowed to happen without me there.
It was, two of my other favorite WordCamps were happening this exact same weekend. So that was very sad, but they were all good. So
many WordCamps, a little time, right? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I always ask people, tell us about your mug. So you have a brand new mug. So tell us about yours.
So my mug is the organizer gift for WordCamp Minneapolis this year. It has my name on it. And what I'm drinking is transparent stevia root beer. So this is root beer. You can totally tell. here's the can. But
I love it. Well, I'm using a mug I've never used on the show before. Now, I'll be 51 this year. And I want to say it was Christmas probably about 3 years ago. So it's going to look like a child's mug because it's a child's mug. But I have only had it a few years. My mother gave it to me for Christmas. Probably 3 or 4 years ago. She gave one to my daughter too. It's this tiny little cat mug.
Well, that's great.
Isn't it cute?
That's adorable.
In order for me to drink out of it with my right hand, you're going to be seeing a cat butt a lot.
I'm sad that they don't have the little butt asterisk.
I could have drawn that on for you had you asked earlier. And I like to drink. I love fizzy things, but I don't necessarily, I'm trying to get away from sweets and caffeine. So I'm drinking, Mandarin orange sparkling water. That's what I've got.
Fantastic.
So I've mostly given up Dr. Pepper. I have like one or two a month, but sure. I'm working on it. So so tell us how you got started with WordPress.
Wow, gosh. So I I'd heard of WordPress. I mean, even back as far as back as being in college. And I remember deciding to give it a try at one point when I, after I'd already gone out on my own, because I had heard that it was easy for designers to learn, that someone had said that at some point. And so I decided to give it a try. And I was not qualified to be doing any of that, but I kind of hacked my way through, you know, kind of maybe customizing a little bit of a theme. And this was a while ago. I mean, this was before like menu structure was really a thing, right? I mean, it was a while ago. But that was what got me started on WordPress, the software. But WordPress, the community, a couple years later, I was just Googling. This is when I lived in Chicago. I was just Googling for design conferences in Chicago just to find something. And WordCamp Chicago 2011 popped up, and it was coming up very soon. And I was like, this is very affordable. I should go to this. So I did. Prior to that, I had had a little bit of experience with a WordPress thing because I'd gone to the CMS Expo, I think the year before, and they had, I was, the agency that I was working with did Joomla, and one thing I knew is that I did not want to do Joomla from that experience, and so I was like, maybe I'll go learn Drupal. So I sat in the Drupal track all day, and I was kind of like, this sounds hard, and then the last session of the day, I went in the WordPress track, and the reason I went in the WordPress track is because they had, like, all the little pins, like the rainbow pins, and I'm like, that looks great, I'm going in that track, and I did, and I was like, this is so much better. Why wasn't I in here all day? So it was kind of all leading me to it. But yeah, WordCamp 2011 was my first WordCamp, and the rest is history. So
I just heard a great tagline, come for the swag, stay for the software. That's what I just heard from Michelle Schultz. I love it.
True.
And anybody who's ever organized a WordCamp has so many of those pins now because they're always left over. I probably have 200 pins. I take them everywhere. I try to give them out, but everybody's like, look, I already have every color. So, yep. But they're a lot of fun. When you look at other sites that people have built, and of course, it's not to be disparaging to anybody, but when you look at sites across the board, WordPress or otherwise, what are some things that you think that people don't focus enough attention on that would make a site better or stronger?
I think that in general, it's not necessarily like a feature or a specific kind of interaction. It's more that when people are building things, I don't think people are asking why they're building it enough times. Whether that's deciding which content to put somewhere or how to lay something out or what colors to use or what images to use. I think that a lot of the problems with a lot of sites on the internet is that people didn't really ask why they were doing it. They were just like, this is cool, or this is new, or this is shiny, or this is fun. I think if people were more deliberate and purposeful about some of the stuff they put on sites, again, that could be anything. That could be, you know, do we use a slider? Probably not. Probably don't do that. How should we lay out our menu? How should we organize our pages? How many pages do we need? What colors should we use? Where should things go? All that stuff. If people were more purposeful and really asked themselves what they were doing, I think the web would probably be better.
When's the last time somebody asked you for a page counter?
Oh, man. I don't know. I remember those. Wow. I kind of want to put one on my site now.
Just to be retro.
Yeah.
this is a vintage website. It has a splash page and a page counter.
Well, don't laugh. I'm actually working on a project for a client right now that basically has a splash page, but it's all like CSS driven. Oh, okay. So it's like coming back full circle. It's really interesting.
Is it going to have a marquee too, like a flashing marquee? As long as there's no flashing. Okay.
There's not. No, no.
We'll catch you some slack then. What's something that you wish you had known when you got started in WordPress that you've learned over the years that might have made your life a little easier?
I mean, there's a couple of things. So technically, what I wish I had known when I started in WordPress is actually how WordPress, like the structure of WordPress templating worked. Like it was so confusing to try to theme for WordPress or do anything until I actually understood how it worked. And then it made sense. It's like, but so on a technical side, that's that. But I think the thing I wish I had known at the very beginning was about the community. Because it took me a couple of years of trying to build WordPress before I found the WordPress community. And that was more transformative than any piece of technology that I learned, because that's basically where I learned all of the pieces of technology from. I think there's still a lot. I mean, the community is very large. A lot of people are in it all over the world. A lot of people are involved. But there's still a huge majority of people that are just using or building or doing WordPress without knowing that there is this like massive pool of resources out there to help them and lean on. And I think that would have been something that I wish I would have known a little bit earlier, although I am glad I found it when I did.
I think it's one of those things that it's kind of hiding in plain sight, but yet if you don't know to look for it, you're never going to find it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We do have one person in the Rochester WordPress community who's never logged into WordPress. He likes us. We call him the groupie. He's our WordPress groupie. And he, heart of gold, like he'll show up and he'll haul stuff for you. He'll carry stuff to the car. He comes to WordCamps and he goes and sits in all the different sessions. Doesn't do anything with WordPress, but he is like just a diehard WordPress community member, which is so cool. And I just love that it's not only the kind of community that you can learn a lot from, but that it's good people you really do just want to kind of know, which is kind of cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what is one of like your favorite WordCamp experiences, or you know, maybe even two, where something happened, you met somebody, it was an aha moment, like something pivotal or inspirational to you?
All right. I actually have a couple. I mean, I have a billion. Obviously, you know, wonderful things happen all the time, but I have a couple that really influenced kind of how I see the world and kind of my approach to everything. So one of them, early on when I started getting involved and I learned about the community, I learned about the people in the community, and I realized like the people that I started out kind of, you know, starstruck, like, oh my gosh, these people on stage are so smart, like they're amazing, and they like wrote the actual software, and I'm just like this random designer and I don't know that, like these people are so great. I kind of, you know, you have a little bit of like weird celebrity worship type stuff because you just think they're so much better than you, right? And I had started slowly getting started doing speaking at events, like I didn't really feel like I was qualified, but I'm like, you know, I guess I have something to share, so I'll do it. I was speaking more and traveling a little bit more, starting to get to know the people that were on stage, being like, all right, you guys are all pretty cool. You people are all pretty cool, not just guys. But the transformative moment for me that really made me kind of take a step back and look at how I looked at people was when someone, I don't know, it was a few years ago, so I'd been speaking for a little while, someone came up to me after one of my talks and said that I was a person who was on their bucket list to meet. And I was like, in my head I was like, your bucket list is very bad. Like, I don't know, like, I didn't say that, obviously. I was gracious and I thanked them, but I was just like, I'm just me. Like, I'm just me. Like, why? That's weird. Why would, but I thought about that. I'm like, but like, everybody's just a person, right? Yeah. Like, we're all just people. Like, we all have skills and talents that we can share with people, and we all have stuff that we need to learn from people. And some of us are on a stage and some of us are in the audience and some of us do both. And that was like very transformative for me at like getting away from really any kind of like celebrity worship complex. Like now I'm very much like, no matter where I'm at, like, yes, it can be intimidating to like have people be on a stage who are very smart, but like, they're just people just like you. And so that was like a very like weirdly transformative moment for me, because I just realized that we're all kind of the same, right? Mm-hmm. Another one that was really meaningful was actually, I believe, last year at WordCamp Sacramento. I was speaking at, and I was about to use the restroom, was going into the restroom, and this woman, you know, stopped me and said hi, and basically said that she'd seen me talk a few times, she really liked my talks, blah blah blah, but she said that she's a designer, but she was having like this like roadblock, something that was like she couldn't get past it, she couldn't figure out what to do, and she told me that she said she decided to watch one of my talk videos and be like, what would Michelle do, right? And she watched something that I, one of the talks I had done, and like was able to find a solution that got her past her roadblock problem. And that was just like so meaningful to me, because I was like, this is the reason why, because it's exhausting to travel and to write new talks and to try to teach people and to like be friendly and personable when you're an introvert and you're tired. Like, it's exhausting to do all that stuff, but like realizing that you literally just like impacted somebody's ability to do their job or like made their day better just from something that you did, like that is so cool. So that really like stuck with me, and I thanked her very much and excuse myself to actually use the restroom, but like that was, but I mean like that was just, I don't know, that was just amazing. And I've had a lot of like micro interaction versions of the same thing, and that's kind of the thing that keeps me doing it even when I'm, you know, tired and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, why do I stay on the grind? But it's like, because I can help people. So I don't know.
I think there's two kinds of people that do the kinds of things that we do as far as speaking and kind of having a public persona in the community. There are people who do it because they are looking for the fame and the glory, because there's not a whole lot of fortune to it, right? Because we don't get paid to do any of the speaking. Nope. If anything, it costs us a lot of money to do that. But there is a, you know, a sense of fame and glory and recognition and whatever. And then there are the people for whom those kinds of interactions are really humbling. And I see you as being one of those people that's really humbled by that and takes the gravitas that comes with something like that to say, not only that, that's amazing, it feels really good that I had that interaction, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that too. And I totally see you taking that as something very serious and knowing that when people do look up to you for things like that, it's like, I better bring it.
Oh, very, very much so. I mean, I try to put a lot of effort and a lot of thought into all of the talks that I do for that reason, just because it's important. I mean, I know that I'm not getting paid. I am doing it as a volunteer, but like, if I'm given the authority to stand up on stage, like I should deliver something of value that is useful and yeah, all that stuff. So I completely agree.
Yeah. Have you ever had a talk kind of where you thought, oh, this is going to be awesome, and it kind of, you feel afterwards like, well, that kind of fell flat?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had better and worse talks and better and worse venues and better and worse audiences. I think one of the most disappointing ones was a year that I was at WordCamp New York, and it was in massive rooms, right? Like big, huge rooms. It's WordCamp New York, right? There's lots of people. And I was giving a talk that I was very excited and proud of, and there were like five people in the room, and I was like, oh man, like, it was still,
I came all the way to New York.
Yeah, I mean, like, I gave the heck out of that talk to those five people, yeah. And the people that were there enjoyed it, and obviously it goes up on WordPress TV, but it wasn't that I needed to give it to a packed space, but it's kind of like, I had a lot of energy for this talk, and there, like, there wasn't the audience, but I still, like, enjoyed connecting with the audience that was there. We had, like, a more in-depth Q&A session afterward, so that was kind of fun, but, you know, you always make the best of it, but that was, it was disappointing, yes.
Yeah, I would say the smaller rooms are, not the smaller room size, obviously, but the smaller number of attendees in the room can kind of impact how you feel about putting it out there, but you're right, you just gotta, like, pull up your panties and just do what you gotta do. Yep. That's awesome. So I think I've seen your name on the WordCamp US stage.
Yeah, this is gonna be my first year finally speaking at WordCamp US. This was like the one camp that I could never get accepted to, but I'm gonna be giving and that's fine. Like they pick based on what they feel the community needs. So obviously that's totally cool. But I was like, I kind of was like amused by it at this point. I'm like, it was like my glass ceiling. yeah, I'm giving a workshop. I'm going to be giving a workshop on theming for content that doesn't exist, which is basically what building a theme is, right? And so how do you do that strategy? But I'm pretty excited about it. I've written kind of an outline for it, but I still need to actually write it. So now that Minneapolis is over, I'm going to be kind of focusing on that and some other new talks I'm giving at the end of the year. So
yeah, I was excited. I'm on the WordCamp US organizing team. I'm not on the program team, so I was, I mean, we're all kind of part of the selection process as far as at the very beginning in certain areas, being able to say, I would go to this one, I wouldn't go to that one. Sure. But I wasn't somebody who picked any of the finalists, but I'm excited to see every year whose name is drawn. And every year I put my name out there too, except this year, because when you're on the organizing team, you can't also speak. But right. So I know that feeling of wanting to every year, and you're like, no. And then this year I was like, yay, Michelle's talking. So
yeah, that's I'm very excited. Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm excited for you. So talk a little bit about, I know you told a little bit about what you do earlier, but talk a little bit about like maybe how you work with clients or what you really enjoy about what you do. You've been doing it a while, so you're very successful as an independent. I hate the word freelancer, but like as an independent themer, organizer.
The word we use is solopreneur. That's a good
thank
word.
Thank you, solopreneur. That's I like right. That as, word. Yep, mm-hmm. as yep, an independent entrepreneur, solopreneur. So yep. Like, what do you think your secret of success is?
I would say that my secret of success is kind of since I went independent, I've chosen to kind of follow a specific methodology. I believe that my success is due to three parts. I am smart, so I either know what I'm doing or I know how to find out what I'm doing, right? So I've got knowledge, I've got the skill set, but that's only step one. Like a lot mm-hmm. of people are smarter than me and have more skills than me, right? I'm helpful. So I genuinely want to make people's lives better in some way, whether that's through solving a problem for them or teaching them something or whatever. So that's why I kind of pursue a lot of the things that I pursue. It's why I decide to speak. It's why I decide to be involved in my local community. It's why I'm involved in the AIGA and on the board of directors. Like there's lots of things that I do because I want to be helpful. And then I'm purposeful. So I want to kind of curate all of these things in a way that kind of provide the maximum amount of value to myself and to everyone else. So like there's a million things I could be involved with. I've been asked to be on like the WordCamp US organizing team a few times and I'd probably be good at it, but like it wouldn't provide my life enough value right now because I don't have the energy and I wouldn't be able to provide good value to everyone else. And so I'm kind of curating all that. So it's like that three-part thing mm-hmm. That I feel has been it's constantly a learning process, you know, but I feel that's kind of contributed to my success. And I feel like the thing that I bring to the table that makes me maybe special or different from other people is that I consider myself first and foremost a translator. Mm-hmm. So I pride myself in being able to take kind of abstract or not fully thought out concepts and flesh them out into something that makes sense, but also being able to kind of cross silos and be able to communicate between different interests. So designers and developers, or, you know, business and engineering, or maybe professional and client or whatever it is. I kind of feel like that's my sweet spot and that's where I'm like the happiest, which is why it's been really fun being an independent because I get to work across a lot of these different silos. So yeah, that's probably the best part.
What's, I used to do my own thing. I was a solopreneur for about 6 years and I didn't like a lot of people say you got to find your niche and like, you know, only work with authors or only work with whatever. And I hated that. I was like, no, I want to learn everything I can about anything I can. And so I would get some really interesting customers over the years. What mm-hmm. is one of the most interesting or like, industry or, you know, niche that kind of approached you and said, hey, we need your help. And you were like, well, I've never thought about doing that before.
Sure. I have had and still have a weirdly diverse bunch of industries. Mm-hmm. So I currently have clients in the roofing industry. There's a lot of women in the roofing industry. Yeah. So the roofing industry, plastic surgery, the music recording industry and the music equipment industry. I did some stuff for like a surfing clothing line once, like, and also I'm doing, you know, enterprise stuff right now for Target. So it's like, what's really interesting though, is that I've actually worked with a lot of women-led or women-only teams, and it wasn't on purpose. Mm-hmm. I have no problem working with all sorts of different people, but even in these industries where you wouldn't expect it, like the roofing stuff and the music industry stuff and all of that, it was actually like mostly women-led teams, which was kind of fun. But yeah, I never really liked the whole like niche thing either. I prefer to think of myself as working with like a niche of personality. I like to work with people that are so passionate about what they do and so enthusiastic about what they do that they get me excited about it, and it doesn't matter what it is. The thing I always say is like, you could be a toothpaste cap manufacturer, and if you're like super into toothpaste caps, like I am right there with you, and I cannot wait to build you a toothpaste cap related website to showcase your wares, because it'll be so fun.
That's a good one. As a matter of fact, the funny thing is there are so many different kinds of toothpaste caps,
right?
I order my groceries, and if I'm not careful and I have to get the one that screws off and doesn't just flip open and shut, I'm like, oh man, that's the wrong toothpaste cap. So yeah, I could actually get passionate about that myself. That's too funny. I'm going to move into what we call the rapid fire questions. So okay. I will ask them quickly. You answer them take as much time as you need to answer them. But when somebody, like if you were going to talk to somebody who's building their first website or doing the business or building a website for themselves, what are two or three plugins that you would recommend, either specific plugins or types of plugins?
Okay. So if we're talking about people building a website, are we talking about like through a user interface or like as a developer? Because I'd probably have different answers to that.
Let's say not a developer. Let's say somebody who's coming to a meetup and they're building a website for their own business.
Okay. I would say at this point, you would probably want to get a good third-party Gutenberg plugin and a theme that supports it. And there's a few of them out there, but right now, like that'll probably solve most of your problems in terms of layout while still sticking to a core thing. You don't have to learn like a secondary page builder or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You need a form plugin that's good. Mm-hmm. I usually use Gravity Forms, but that's just because that's what I started with. Like any of the other major ones are also awesome, but you definitely need a form building plugin 100%. Especially if you're going to be doing any marketing and you want to tie into any other platforms, like find the form plugin that ties in with your email platform or whatever and do that. Right. And then it also kind of depends on what your website's for. Mm-hmm. If it's e-commerce, like obviously you want to get WooCommerce. If you want to do events, I will always recommend the events calendar. But there's, that kind of stuff but I would say definitely like a good Gutenberg block library, a good form plugin, and then one of the top specialty plugins mm-hmm. for whatever your site's actually for.
And you mentioned the developer side of things too. What's your favorite developer tool?
Advanced Custom Fields.
Well, you didn't have to think about that one.
No, I didn't. But that is definitely, and Advanced Custom Fields is super awesome if you are building small to mid-sized to large-ish sites. I understand that at very, very large scale, there can be performance issues with metadata, but like, especially now, like doing custom Gutenberg block development, like thank you so much, by the way, Elliot. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for ACF blocks. It's amazing. but yeah, I hands down Advanced Custom Fields. I don't build a site without it.
Yeah. You mentioned Gutenberg. One of the things that I've been watching with interest over the last few years, and I think a lot of us have, is the people who are eager to learn it versus the people who have dug in their heels and are just so dead set against it. And one of the things that I think is if you've actually taken the time to work with it throughout its development at all, from when it was a plugin to, now that it's part of core, the more plugins that have evolved to use blocks, the better that Gutenberg itself has gotten. It's actually not the barrier to learning that people thought it was once. Has that been your experience as well?
So I have loved the philosophy of what Gutenberg is doing since the beginning, because the web is modular. It is not built on pages. Like the web is built on blocks of content that can repeat in different ways, much like code is. I have a lot of opinions on the actual implementation of the user interface in different ways, and I believe that it is not a fully mature user experience at this time. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of buggy, weird things that are frustrating, but I believe that it is future and it is the right direction, even if it's not the final implementation. Mm-hmm. So,
it's already come quite a ways from where mm-hmm. it was in January, mm-hmm. let's say. So, yep. when we were all at WordCamp US last year and it was released and we were all like, what? And any of those of us who had customers in the plugin world were all like, oh gosh, is it going to break? And what's going to happen? And, you know, at Give, we had almost no issues with our customers having problems with it. So,
yep,
we were pretty happy with that. I agree. I think it's just something that, and I'm anxious to see where it goes, quite honestly, from here. So.
Same.
Definitely. So any point during your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, whether it was an official mentor relationship or somebody that took you under their wing? And who was it?
So I am going to credit basically the entire Chicago and Milwaukee WordPress community back when I first started getting involved in like 2011, 2012, because they are the people and specifically, they were the people that got me to be able to organize for the first time, introduced me to the meetups, got me to speak for the first time. And we had a private Skype chat before Slack was a thing. We had a private Skype chat that we would all hang out in all day, and we migrated it to Slack. I mean, a lot of us have gone our separate ways at this point. But for those first few years, it was transformative. And again, also, a majority of them were also women, which is fantastic. Like just women developers that it was cool to have. The guys in the group were also great. I learned like SAS, and this is how I learned like a whole bunch of other programming, like just because I had this little community, mm-hmm. that kind of took me in and like took me under their wing and like built me up and sent me out to fly. And so I would not be here without them. So I really, really appreciate them.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel the same way about my community here in Rochester and Buffalo. So I have the two cities that have helped me in different ways as well. One that's almost entirely Facebook group and the other that's mm-hmm. almost entirely Slack. So very similar kinds of experiences.
Oh yeah. I mean, I will also say, since I met the Minneapolis community in 2013, obviously I live here now. And that was a big reason why I live here is because of their community was like so welcoming and awesome. I basically already had a group of friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been great.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I seriously, it's mentioned on the show before and also just in talks and in general that some of my closest friends now are WordPress people that I never would have met if I hadn't started down this path. So it's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
I mean,
I know it's hard to single somebody out.
Yeah. So I don't have like a person, I can never answer this question about anything. Like can never pick out like a person that I like, if people ask me about like a historical figure or somebody, I'm always like, I don't know. But what I do admire as like a concept, is every time I go and speak at a WordCamp and I ask like, whose first WordCamp it is, and like half the room always raised their hand. Like I think what I admire isn't like a person, but that there are so many like new people that are willing to just like start this scary thing and show up at a conference and like just be in it. Like those are always the people that I admire in the room, is like the people that are coming for the first time and are just like here to learn and they're just so excited. I don't know. So it's like a cheating answer.
It's a really good answer. And nobody's ever said that before. So that's actually, I appreciate that too. And it's true. You're right. Like almost always, like half the room's like me, you know, mm-hmm. and then we ask, and how many of you have never even logged into WordPress? And there's always a bunch of people too that like, I want to learn about it. And that's pretty cool. That is a really cool first step. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's really neat. What's something that you'd like to learn in WordPress, but you might not have tackled yet?
I mean, I have finally just now started doing like Gutenberg block development through advanced custom fields. So that's cool. I I feel like my knowledge of like actual programming needs to be better. Like I've messed around with, you know, doing stuff like, you know, declaring classes and object oriented programming and stuff. But I feel like it's very task-based as opposed to concept-based. You know, like I need to accomplish this thing. How do I do that within this programming framework? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I need to work on my foundational knowledge of programming as a whole, mm-hmm. beyond like I know what an if statement and a for loop are. Like, okay, cool, good job, Michelle. But I feel like that is probably like, I feel like my knowledge of WordPressy stuff is pretty good, but my knowledge of the programming languages behind it could be better. So,
you're years ahead of me on it, but I appreciate the answer because I think that's probably true of everybody in their area. If they really take time to look at it, we could always use a little more big picture foundation type stuff too. So, no, that's yep. good. What's the biggest WordPress mistake you've ever made, and what did you learn from it?
I mean, I've certainly had a few deleting databases I shouldn't have deleted and like writing code over things I shouldn't have written code over and a lot of stuff. But honestly, the biggest WordPress mistake I made wasn't necessarily a WordPress mistake, but it was mm-hmm. in the service of doing WordPress. And that was in terms of communication. So I used to have this philosophy where I didn't like to go to clients with a problem. I only like to go to them with a solution. Mm-hmm. And that's great, I guess, except for the fact that they don't actually care they care if you solve the problem. That's not what they care about. They care that they're part of the process and that they're involved. So if you just disappear while you're frantically trying to fix a problem, that's a terrible time for you to disappear because they're like worried because they know that there's a problem and you're not saying anything to them. Mm. So I'd say the biggest mistake I made was like in a lack of communication when I was trying to go heads down and fix things rather than just taking a minute saying, mm-hmm. hey, I am aware of XYZ happening. I'm trying ABC right now. I will get back to you when I know more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say the other mistake that I've made is trying to do too many things without asking for help. I've mm-hmm. definitely wound up in some holes that were deeper than I was qualified to dig out of. And in the past, I would have just been frantically Googling things forever until I maybe found something, but I have learned to just be like, hey, I need to figure out an answer to this and I need to ask for help because mm-hmm. I'm not qualified. So
yeah, I learned that once upon a time where I actually was helping a new customer. They had their site hacked. And they came to me, they're like, I know that you know WordPress. Do you think you can fix this? And the hubris kicked in, right? Because I'm like, oh, I know how to restore a backup. I mean, they're mm-hmm. on GoDaddy. They've got backups, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out that they only had 30 days worth of backups and the monster was in there prior to 30 days before. Mm-hmm. And I was way in over my head. This was several years ago. And I was just like, I had no idea what I was looking for. And I hired somebody. I paid somebody their time as opposed to just asking for help. I asked for help that I was absolutely 100% ready to, value their time as well. Cause I knew there's no way I could fix it. So yeah, I hear you on that one. It's easy to do for sure. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've had a lot like code success and like different stuff that I've learned. And I mean, there's plenty of times, but I mean, I really think that every time someone tells me that, actually, okay, so this is it. So one is like when people come up to me and tell me that, you know, they've learned something from a talk that I've given or whatever, but
okay, we lost you there for a minute.
Oh yeah, I know. My computer just said my internet connection's unstable. Dang it, computer.
That's okay. Go back to where you said every time somebody says they learn something from you, and then we missed what was after that.
Okay, so that's great. But actually, my favorite is when I'm doing a project for a client and they say, like when I'm showing them the back end for the first time and then they're like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. This makes so much sense. I can do this. Like, I love that. That makes me so like, so excited. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's exactly what I'm trying to do for them. I'm trying to like make them be able to manage their own site, right? Like that's what mm-hmm. I want. And when they, who aren't technical people, are like, I can do this. Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
That's awesome. When you, they're like, oh, I can change the time on my own website. Mm-hmm. I could put the phone number in. Yeah, that is exciting stuff. And then they, and then you just warn them about what areas never to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Control. That's right. Control. If you weren't in the web fields, working with what you do with programming and design and everything, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Ooh, I've actually thought about this. So if I could not do designer development, I would probably be like an event planner, probably. I mean, I'm pretty good at that too. Or something having to do with logistics. Maybe not a personal assistant because I don't know if I could deal with people that much, but I mean like event planning or something similar to that, I mm-hmm. would dominate that probably. I love this.
I totally thought you were going to say some kind of personal trainer or health coach or
oh,
something.
Oh gosh. I don't know if I'd want to do that for a living. Like,
No, I think that's cool. I love event planning. That's why people like you are great to have on an organizing team because yeah. you can get kind of get behind it and figure out like what needs to be done, that kind of stuff, which is awesome. What's something on your bucket list?
Just in general?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I mean, there's places I want to travel to and there's places I want to eat food at, and because like eating food and drinking interesting stuff has become like my other hobby. Like apparently my hobbies now are eating food and working out, because apparently that's the only other things I do with my life.
clear root beer.
Right, yeah, clear stevia root beer. No, I mean, yeah, there's places I want to go. I mean, just that I haven't been. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know. I like hardly ever think about doing things for fun.
Oh, no. maybe you need to change that.
Get 8 hours of sleep. That's
that would be a good one for sure.
Right.
I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday morning, but I slept until almost 11 o'clock yesterday morning, which was like, and I actually went to bed before midnight, which is almost unheard of for me.
Wow.
And when I... But when I woke up, I had to pee so bad that I jumped out of bed so fast that I lost my balance. And I literally fell out of bed. I'm like, I'm 50 years old and I fell out of bed. And the thing that hurts the worst, of course, is my pride, even though only my cat saw it. So because nobody knew about it, of course, I had to put it out on Twitter.
Obviously.
You know, who wouldn't? So yeah, that 8 hours of sleep was a good thing. I haven't done that in a long time. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents, something maybe the WordPress community doesn't know about you.
I am extremely good at packing suitcases. Like, I'm really good at the Tetris of physical things. I can pack a space pretty well. I'm also really good at roasting marshmallows, even though I don't eat them. I can, and I'm sorry, but golden brown is the only correct way. Like, if you like them burned, I guess that's fine, but like, you're missing out because it's basically like charring the outside and having a cold inside, but that's not how marshmallows work. I have opinions.
Golden brown.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is a hill I will die on. But I can roast marshmallows and I can pack suitcases. So if you need those things.
Come see you. Just send her a picture of what you've got. Send her a picture of your suitcase and she will send back a diagram of how to fill it.
Likely true.
That's so funny. Although it will come with a price because, you know, nobody's time is free. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm quite expensive. It's probably not worth it.
How can people find you online?
I am Marketime Media pretty much everywhere on the internet. If you want to stalk me everywhere, you can just go to mynameismichelle.com. That has links to all my stuff. If you want to read about my health and fitness stuff that's tailored towards tech and freelance professionals, you can go to fitnessandfreelance.com. Otherwise, yeah, Marketime Media everywhere else.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today before we sign off?
Oh man, that's like the highest pressure thing. I don't know.
If there's something diet like at the back, like she didn't ask me this.
Oh man. No is a complete sentence.
It is. Saying that's it. Right.
Yep.
And I like your Wapu in the back. I have one on my shelf as well.
Yeah, I got a couple of those. Yeah, Wapu and Bullseye. Bullseye dressed as a girl in technology.
Oh, that's cute. Is that from Target?
Target, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yep.
Tech girls. Mm-hmm. Tech girls unite. It's awesome. Yep. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with me here today. I look forward to seeing you at WordCamp US.
Yeah.
And staying in touch on all of those different social channels.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up, whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.